Well, good day. Welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we've got a quick weather update here for you. We have a lot of stuff going on that happened over the last week or so and over the beginning of this week in the tropics, and we'll talk about that as well as some other things to do with weather, and we'll get right into that. But of course, can't get into any of that without getting into chatting with Sam. And Sam, you decided we needed to get together and talk a little bit about this, which I think was a good idea.
How you been? Things have been pretty dull here in Colorado, knock on wood. We had, you know, Labor Day at 101 degrees and fire, to 2 days later we had 4 inches of snow. So I think that was kind of unusual. In fact, if I remember correctly, the last time the record for early snowfall was, this was September 3rd. It was September 3rd was the last record, and I think it was in like 1976. But, you know, I think we talked a bit about that. It was crazy. So Jamie took a little time off and actually got chased out of the Carolinas by Sally. So we'll have to talk a bit, because a lot happened in the last 2 weeks that I hope that Becky can straighten us out on this. It's other records are being broken. So, Joe, what have you been involved in? Anything regarding these storms going through?
Yes, one way or another, kind of all of them. I was deployed for Sally and got home from that, and Kimberly went out the next day for whatever was next. No, I was out for Barry. Sorry, I was out for Barry. She went out for Sally. Not a whole lot of work out of that one. And actually, the team is back in the field now for the one that just made landfall in Texas today. Beta? Is that still Beta? Or is it something
else? Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah, well, it's terrible when you can't even remember which storm is which or which one went out.
Exactly, correct. I cannot recall.
I'm glad for Kimberly that she's at least out working the dogs, and that's worth it, even if there isn't a whole lot to do. It's good practice. So we're going to catch up with her eventually when things settle down and learn about Issa's adventures in the storm front. So, Miss Becky, oh, my God, I don't even know what to ask first. This is so crazy. All of the above that we just talked about, like in the last 2 weeks. So let's start with the fact we're talking about Beta means pretty close to, or a record has been broken pretty close to that, right? In terms of going into the Greek alphabet.
So we're definitely in record breaking territory here. So let's back up for a second. The World Meteorological Organization names all tropical storms. And so for the Caribbean Sea, Gulf of Mexico, and North Atlantic, there's a list of 21 names. They don't use Q, U, X, Y, or Z, as it might be hard to come up with names that start with those letters. So we blasted through all 21 of those names. And I should know, we blasted through those names about a month ahead of schedule of the one other time in recorded history that we have used up all 21 names, and that was in 2005, which, if you'll recall, was the same year as Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yeah.
So not exactly a good year to compare to. We have been saying for, gosh, 5-6 months, you know, when we're talking about the hurricane season forecast, that 2005 was an analog year, which just means a comparable year in terms of the overall setup. So, yeah, we are – so what happens after we use up all the letters is we go into the Greek alphabet. It was a bit of a roulette that occurred, I don't even remember which day, maybe Friday of last week, where Alpha suddenly got named. Never mind, we had Wilfred and Paulette and Renee and Sally. And these last 2 weeks, months, your head has just spun if you're trying to look at the tropics. So Alpha was named very briefly, made landfall in Portugal, actually. Then we had, in the meanwhile, Teddy was named. We'll come back to Teddy. But Beta was named in the Gulf, and Beta made landfall, I believe, yesterday. Today's Tuesday, I believe, yesterday. It's hard to keep track, though.
Meteorologists can't even keep track of what day it is. It's so crazy.
Yeah. It's head spinning this season. I don't know how the folks at the National Hurricane Center are doing it, or pretty much anyone in operational meteorology.
Yeah, they'll probably get drinking a lot of wine when they get home.
Probably. So, yeah, we can talk about Beta unless you want to talk about Sally first, which was last week.
All to you. We'll get to all of them, I hope. So it's all you, Bex.
Okay, well, let's start from backing up a little bit. So Sally, the Gulf of Mexico has been a bit notorious this year for kind of being a trigger for rapidly intensifying hurricanes, mainly due to the warm Gulf waters and very low wind shear, which allows hurricanes to strengthen. So Sally did this thing where the storm was kind of just hanging out off the east coast of Florida, crossed the southern tip of Florida, Florida Keys, and then really, really intensified, making landfall with winds well over 100 right near Mobile. I actually have several friends who work at the National Weather Service Mobile, and they describe a pretty harrowing night. A lot of flooding, a lot of wind damage. Some of the peaks from that, it looks like Gulf Shores, Alabama, which was the landfall point, saw gusts of 123 miles per hour. So pretty persistent gusts of well over 100 miles per hour. The storm surge was also significant, 21.5 feet in Florida, 20 feet in Alabama. Tons of flooding. Orange Beach, Alabama, ended up with 30 inches of rainfall from Sally. I feel like a lot of this has sort of gotten kind of lost in the news because there's so much happening. But this storm, Beta, have both been really, really impactful. Sally to Alabama and kind of the Gulf Shores area, Mobile area, and then Beta to Texas. And then it kind of shifted northeast. Sally did, went through the Carolinas, produced 5 tornadoes in South Carolina. I think mostly inland, so you probably would have been okay from that standpoint, Jamie, but still probably not great beach weather with a sort of remnants of a tropical system moving through. So produced a fair bit of flooding up into the mid-Atlantic, although anything kind of north of Maryland only saw some rain showers from Sally. So that was last week.
So, Becky, I just want to throw something out. As you were talking, I was thinking about a retweet that I saw, and I think it was from a news anchor, a weather news person, who said, that's the craziest, it's the longest shift I've ever had, 20 straight hours of terror, basically. And what really seemed to bother her was the fact that she was watching her whole city come apart from the newsroom. And, you know, anybody who thinks meteorologists don't have a hard time with this, think again. And fortunately, I love your whole meteorological community because they all really supported her how she was feeling, and they've been there themselves. So I was pretty impressed with that, but I felt so bad for her because, you know, it's one thing when you're reporting weather across the country, but when it's in your own hometown, that's a lot tougher.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a topic of discussion sort of increasingly so in the last few years, is this sort of secondary trauma that meteorologists can go through, particularly when it's happening in their backyard, but even to a lesser extent when we're, you know, forecasting these major disasters. It's, you know, it's tough to look at a forecast and have a pretty good understanding of the devastation that's about to occur, and then to obviously watch it unfold and, you know, hope that you did everything you could.
Anyway, next week.
So we had a lot sort of happen kind of mostly out in the Atlantic. There was Paulette, there was Renee, there was Wilfred, which I can't even tell you what happened with that storm because it's just a blip. So we'll go to Beta really quick. Another storm that was able to intensify due to the Gulf's waters, although Beta never really got fully organized in a way that it looks cohesive on satellite. But that's where it's really important to not focus so much on either the category or what the storm looks like, because this storm is still producing an immense amount of rain in the southeastern Texas, Houston area. Obviously an area that floods pretty often, has some significant flood mitigation issues. But that said, Rainfall totals ranging up to 14.5 inches near Shamrock Manor, Texas. Houston Hobby Airport has 10.3 inches. Downtown Houston has 6 inches. It doesn't take a lot for the bayous there to become flooded and then for highways, roadways to become very flooded. So we started to see a lot of photographs and videos of cars driving into flooded roadways and floating away and being completely submerged. I can't tell you how much we got to emphasize turn around, don't drown.
yeah, but so, people still don't listen, do they? This happens every time there's a storm.
Yeah. Yep. Just unfortunately. So that'll spread rain kind of over a similar area, just basically the south to southeastern U.S. May get some rain showers kind of stretching east of the Carolinas by Friday, but otherwise Beta is winding down.
Well, good. Well, we'll talk about what may yet be coming, but Jamie, did you catch any weather in any of your travels last week?
We caught the front end of Sally. We decided to leave Friday rather than Saturday. And the first couple of hours driving out until I got up into Virginia, I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so by the time I got up into Virginia, the rain stopped. But from just about right after we left heading inland until we got to the Virginia-North Carolina line, it poured. It was rough driving weather. I can only imagine what it was like, because I was looking at the rain forecasts and they were calling for, you know, anywhere 2 to 4 to maybe places 6 inches of rain over the next 12 to 24 hours. And I just didn't want to be driving through that.
Not that I can blame you for that. Joe Tennessee's taken a lot of hit this season, too, with a lot of rain at the very least. Have you had tornadoes or anything else going on there with all these storms that seem to head for where there's a target, which seems to be Tennessee,
as
they pass through from the Gulf into the East Coast?
It's true. We've had a lot of storms sort of rolling right through the state. I think the majority of that's just been heavy rain with some flash flooding and that kind of stuff. I do not think we've had too much in the way of tornadoes, et cetera, but plenty of rain and plenty of flooding.
Well, at least your grass stays green, so that's a good thing. Except Kimberly can't go out and work the dogs when it's pouring, so that might be a bummer. But they're getting certainly getting their fill on these deployments. So, Bex, we got at least another month of this, correct? So any prediction on how the rest of this crazy season might go?
Well, at the moment, and we still haven't talked about Teddy yet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
At the moment, it's actually looking – I'm just going to knock on wood, hopefully not jinx it, but it's looking quiet. If you go to
– Oh, the Q word, no.
I know. If you go to the National Hurricane Center's 5-day graphical tropical weather outlook, it says tropical cyclone formation is not expected during the next 5 days. And that is a phrase I don't think we've seen since, I don't even know, June, May. I don't know.
Oh, one extreme to the other.
All that said, there's still plenty of time in hurricane season. It does look like we get a bit of a reprieve here for at least a week, maybe longer, but the hurricane doesn't end for another few months. The hurricane season doesn't end for another few months. So hopefully all forecasters can take a breath, gather their wits about them again.
Yeah, sounds like you need one, for heaven's sakes. And I don't know, they still got the fires in California going on. If we could just transport some of this extra wet stuff over there, life would be good, but it doesn't seem to be working that way. Is California going to get any rain? I mean, you know, is there anything that can help them out?
Unfortunately, no. I saw something go by today that was sort of a longer-term outlook, and it essentially showed another round of kind of colder air plunging into the eastern part of the U.S., which typically means you're going to have a ridge and a lot warmer air and drier air over the west. So it looks like the Pacific Northwest is finally getting some moisture, as is fairly typical this time of year when you get systems coming in. But places like California, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, no hope for rain really anytime soon.
Oh, that's too bad. Is this dry pattern something that's going to stick around in the West, or is it? It seems like it's been sticking around for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get much of a monsoon this year, which is, I mean, it happens, but it's usually pretty unfortunate when that does occur. But they're not getting any moisture to come up from the Gulf, from the Pacific, really from anywhere. California especially is very much a state of extremes. You either have, you know, really, really dry conditions, drought conditions, and then wildfires, or you have just rain after rainstorm after rainstorm, which then generally leads to mudslides because you've had wildfires.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, I was more prepared for Colorado after living in California, but Colorado never ceases to amaze me either. So you can't get bored around here when it comes to the weather. But what about Freddy?
Teddy. Teddy Bear.
Aha.
So we're talking about
warm,
Teddy.
Was he warm and fuzzy or not?
Large, very, very large storm. Some of you guys have seen the movie The Perfect Storm.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a fantastic movie. It's one of my favorites as a weather nerd. But Teddy is pretty similar to the storm depicted in The Perfect Storm, which is based on a real event. Teddy is a massive storm, absolutely massive. Has a wind field of over 1,000 miles. Has the potential, there's already been wave heights of 40 to 50 feet well away from the center. They're expecting winds potentially up to 100 feet, which is, I can't even get my head around that. I really, really can't. Not a place that you want to be out in a fishing boat in. So Teddy's now post-tropical, which basically means that it has lost tropical characteristics. Also somewhat similar to Hurricane Sandy, which was extratropical as it made landfall. Basically just says it means that it's really lost its tropical characteristics and is much more like a very broad area of low pressure. So Teddy is going to – go ahead, Sam.
We just domesticated it. Is that what happened? Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
So it's going to bring pretty strong winds and gusty rains to parts of Nova Scotia. Thankfully, not going to be as bad of a hit as it was initially feared, but definitely going to be very, very windy. Wind gusts up to 130 kilometers per hour. That's 80 miles per hour, and some rainfall. So I should send you a link of the satellite imagery because it's from a meteorological standpoint, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, Jamie can use that for the website. That sounds really interesting. Well, my goodness, I'm surprised we haven't heard more about Teddy. You know, it sounds like he's kind of fierce out there.
Yeah, mostly been hanging out in the ocean. Hopefully no ships out there. We may end up hearing about that, you know, after the fact, but it really hasn't gone towards land, kind of sideswiped Bermuda. I'm sure we'll hear more once it makes landfall in Nova Scotia.
So Joe, do you just kind of stay ready and waiting for whatever's coming because you deployed to Sally, and I guess fortunately that wasn't as bad in some areas as they feared it would be, although subsequent storms have made up for it. So you just kind of sit there and wait and see what happens and see if the phone rings, right?
Definitely some truth to that. The bags are packed and ready to go, and this time of year it's not uncommon to they just sort of come one after another. So I'm hoping for a little quiet time, but I'm ready to go if need be.
Well, it sounds like everybody, especially the meteorologists, will get a little bit of downtime in the next 5 days or so. So that's a good thing. And take a deep breath and have a glass of wine and cross your fingers. But, you know, they could make the naming a little easier. ISES or whatever that was. I had a hell of a time, obviously, with that name. Could it be Ike or something a little more pronounceable? I mean, do they repeat them after a certain period of time?
Every 6 years, the name recycles, so long as the name wasn't retired.
Okay, so we don't have to deal with that one then for 6 years, so that's a good thing. So what do you think, Jamie?
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, the fact that, if, you know, how much fun it'll be in 6 years when we have another one and you have to try to say it again because we'll have the show still on the air.
Between now and then. That was hard even after I learned it, what it's supposed to sound like. So, well, anything else, Bex? I think you covered a lot here, but we had a lot to cover.
Yeah. It's been interesting because, well, the tropics have been very active and the West has been very active as far as wildfires. The rest of the country has actually been fairly quiet. So, you know, outside of tropical systems making landfall and producing, you know, a foot of rain and the West on fire, it's been quiet.
It scares me when you say that word. You know,
I know.
Jamie and Joe know what happens when you say that word. So if we get a major storm tomorrow, it's all on you. Just saying.
We'll have a little notice, yeah, hopefully.
Yes. Well, Jamie, that was quite a wrap up. But I want to make sure we caught up on all this weather stuff. When I saw the news banner this morning saying people in Texas are up to their waist in water, it's like, oh my God, Texas is really taking a hit. So hopefully they'll get a break if there's more to come, which I'm sure there is. So.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that, and maybe we have a brief update when we record the next episode. But it's important to keep track of these things and do these updates as they come in for the show. I do want to, you know, thank all of you for coming together on short notice. But that's what we do, and that's what the responders do. It's one of the reasons that Joe and the rest of the team at Paragon Medical Education Group, you know, do what they do to keep people prepared and trained and educated about what they need to be aware of. Joe, it's the things that you can't prepare for that are the reasons why you have to have vigorous training regimens.
Oh, I think you're exactly right, Jamie, including COVID-19, a new wrinkle in the disaster world for sure.
So, Joe, where can folks reach out to you if they want to check in about Paragon and find out how they can customize a training experience for their system?
To talk to folks. They can find us on the web at paragonmedicalgroup.com. or on Facebook under Paragon Medical Group, and can always reach us through the Disaster Podcast or the Disaster Podcast Facebook page. Come see us.
Excellent. And how about you, Becky? I know you're active on Twitter. People can really find out what's going on weather-wise out there by tracking down what you're
absolutely
up to.
Twitter at WX_Bex, the Disaster Podcast Facebook page, and over on LinkedIn at Becky D. Podwin.
Sam, how about you?
Well, all those places. I'm not quite the Twitter freak that Becky is, but that's okay. Kyle kind of hits LinkedIn, and I hang around Facebook, so we're always there somewhere. You can find me under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11, and certainly in our Disaster Podcast group, a very amazing and ever-growing bunch. What about you, Jamie?
Well, folks can find me under the handle PodMedic in most social media locations, so please friend, follow, or otherwise catch up with me there. And, of course, on the disasterpodcast.com site, where you can find – we'll start a new podcast. Disasterpodcast.com, where you can find the home of this podcast and links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile devices, and, of course, always over at our Disaster Podcast Facebook group. Join the group over there. We're fast heading towards 1,000 members. It's very active. We have a lot of people sharing links, commenting on things. It's a great place to get together and talk about what you're hearing on the show. Sam, good episode. Glad you brought us together.
Well, tonight. Me too. When I saw that banner this morning, I said, we got to do that. We got to catch up. But we have another really good show coming later in the week, so stand by for that. It'll be a lot of fun. And I guess we could say disaster weather is, well, disaster weather.